You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 27, by Dr. Rudolf Steiner and Dr. Ida Wegmann, entitled Extending Practical Medicine, formerly known as Fundamentals of Therapy, translated by Anna Mois. This is Chapter 14, entitled The Therapeutic Way of Thinking. Silica takes its actions along the metabolic pathways to the parts of the human organism where living matter becomes lifeless. It is found in the blood, through which the configuring forces have to pass, and it occurs in hair, that is, at the point where configuration has its outer limit. You find it in bones, where configuration comes to its conclusion inwardly. It presents in urine as a product that has been separated off. It provides the physical basis for the eye organization. For this effects configuration. This eye organization needs the silica process in the organism, all the way to the areas where configuration, the giving form, borders on the outer and inner unconscious world. At the periphery of the organism, where the hair contains silica, the human organization is connected with the unconscious outside world. In the bones, this organization is connected with the unconscious inner world, in which the will is active. Between the two spheres of silica action, the physical basis of conscious awareness must develop in a healthy human organism. Silica has a twofold task. Inwardly, it sets a limit to processes of pure growth, nutrition, etc. And on the outside, it keeps purely natural processes away from the inner organism, so that the organism does not have to effect a continuation of natural processes, but is able to develop its own. In its youth, the human organism is provided with the highest levels of silica in areas where the tissues with configuring forces are located. From there, silica evolves its activity in the direction of both border regions, creating a space between them where the organs of conscious life can develop. In a healthy organism, these are predominantly the sense organs, but it has to be remembered that the life of the senses exists throughout the human organism. Interaction between the organs is based on the fact that one organ always perceives the activities of the other. In organs that are not sense organs in the true sense of the word, for example, liver, spleen, kidney, etc., perception is so subtle that it remains below the threshold of conscious awareness in ordinary waking life. Apart from serving a specific function in the organism, every organ is also a sense organ. The fact remains that the whole human organism is full of sensory perceptions that influence one another, and it has to be such in order that everything in it may work together in a healthy way. All this bases on the right distribution of silica actions. We may actually speak of a silica organism incorporated in the organism as a whole. On it rests the sensitivity organs have for each other, which is the basis for healthy vital functions. And it is also the basis for their right relationship to the inner life, for the evolution of soul and spirit, and to the outside, so that natural processes are properly excluded. This special organism will only function properly if the amount of silica present in the organism is such that the I organism is able to utilize it fully. If there is any additional silica, the astral organization, which is below the I organization, must be strong enough to eliminate it in the urine or in other ways. Excess silica that has not been eliminated or taken hold of by the I organization must be deposited as foreign matter in the organism and cause disruption for the I organization because of its tendency to configure, a tendency which actually serves that organization if it is present in the right amount. Too much silica introduced into the organism will therefore cause gastric and intestinal problems. It then is the task of the digestive sphere to eliminate a principle that is imposing excessive configuration. Drying out results where fluidity should prevail. This is above all evident when the soul's equilibrium is upset, with organic disturbances clearly perceptible in the background due to excessive silica intake. Sensations of dizziness develop. The individual cannot prevent himself from falling into the sleep state, and finds that hearing and visual perception cannot be directed in the normal way. Indeed, one may get the feeling that activities of the senses are being dammed up and unable to continue into the inner nervous system. All this shows that silica pushes toward the periphery of the body, but if too much of it gets there, normal configuration is upset because there is a tendency to foreign configuration. The inner border of configuration is also upset. Problems are experienced in directing the locomotor system, joint pain. The whole may develop into inflammatory processes, which develop in areas where the foreign configuration tendency of silica comes in too strongly. This indicates the medicinal powers silica is able to evolve in the human organism. Let us assume an organ that is not an actual sense organ becomes hypersensitive in its unconscious powers of perceiving parts of the organism that lie outside itself. You will note that the functions of this organ become abnormal. If you are in a position to give silica and correct the hypersensitivity, this would be a way of dealing with the pathological condition. It will merely be a matter of influencing the organic bodily action to such effect that the silica which is introduced acts specifically around the diseased organ and does not have a systemic effect on the whole body in the sense described above. By combining silica with other agents, it is possible to arrange that the silica introduced into the body reaches exactly the organ where it is required and can be taken out of the body again from there as an elimination without causing harm to other organs. A different situation occurs when the sensitivity of an organ for other organs is reduced. In that case, silica activity has accumulated in the periphery of the organ. It is then necessary to achieve such an influence on silica activity in the whole organism that the local activity loses its power. Or one can use eliminators to encourage removal of the silica. The first method is preferable, as accumulation of silica in one site usually causes a deficit elsewhere. Distribution of localized silica activity over the whole organism can be achieved with a course of sulfur treatment, for example. You will realize why this is so if you read up on the sulfur actions in the organism elsewhere in this book. The end of chapter 14.